today on Real Radio.
Listen, you're not essential or non-essential. You are a soul that God loves, and God will not allow the human race to be relegated down to that kind of title.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called My Dear Church in California, I've Written You a Letter. Now, Pastor Jack mentions California quite a bit in this message, but despite the title, the lesson is applicable to all, so stay tuned. What if Jesus were to speak to the church in California? What would he say? Is he watching us lose hope? Feeling non-essential because the powers that be say we are? Well, according to God, we are neither essential or non-essential. We are precious souls that God loves. Now, first it was God's law that came through Moses, then God's grace came through salvation in Jesus Christ, and finally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the first church was born. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the followers of Jesus, and they began to proclaim the good news of the gospel, and they never stopped living out their lives to the glory of God. So today, on day one of this special message, Pastor Jack tells us that as Christ followers in California, we're to examine ourselves and see how we match up against all the good that Jesus did and all the corrections that Jesus gave to the seven churches in Revelation. And now in his message called, My Dear Church in California, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Today's Pentecost Sunday all around the world. And why is that the case? Pentecost is 50 days. It means 50 days in the Greek language. The Feast of Shavuot in Hebrew is the feast of the wave offering, the spring celebrations, but most specifically we come to what is known as Shavuot, or what we say in Greek, Pentecost. It's ancient. It goes back to the days of Moses with the children of Israel when God told them, out of Exodus chapter 12 and 13, remember, everyone in a household of 10 people, if you didn't have 10 people in your house, you were to go get some neighbors, bring them into your home in Egypt, and you were to take a lamb, and you were to have that lamb for about 5 days' time in your house, an unblemished lamb, remember, a cute little thing, a perfect little lamb, in your home, in the house, and you were to become very personal with that lamb. It was to be played with. The kids were naming it. They were having a great time with it. They were to bond to that little lamb that was designated for your home. And every one of the homes in all of Egypt of the Jews, by the way, I should clarify that. Every home in Egypt that had a lamb, be a Jew or not. Did you know that? God didn't specify that you had to be a Jew and have a lamb. God just said you had to have a lamb. I like that. What if an Egyptian caught on and went and got himself a lamb and had blood on his doorpost? He would have been saved. Why? Because we know doctrinally that God dispatched the death angel would pass through Egypt and look for what? Blood on the door. Not any ethnicity behind it, not any people group or wealth. But if you had the blood, the death angel would pass over you, thus Passover. 50 days after the Passover, God calls Moses up to Mount Sinai, and on the 50th day, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. It's the giving of the law. The Bible tells us that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a saying in that. There's an understanding in that theologically. The law came through Moses on Pentecost on the mountaintop. But listen, grace and truth came from Jesus, and what is alluded to is the birthing of the church. Who is to receive the grace? Who is to receive the mercy? Who is to receive God's salvation? Those who put their faith in Christ. That's called the church. And you're going to know the answer to this in a moment. When was the church born? On the day of Pentecost. The law came through Moses, but grace came through Christ. One came down from the mountain with stone. The other one came down from heaven with salvation and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what separates real believers from the false believer. You know that. It's not by works. It's not by what you do. It's not by the money you give. It's not by your morality. What takes you to heaven is the fact that the Holy Spirit is inside of you and he has sealed you, the Bible says, to the day of redemption. That means the Holy Spirit right now is waiting. You're not the only one waiting. I'm waiting, you're waiting for Christ to come. Well, the Holy Spirit is waiting. And the Holy Spirit's job has been to present you to Jesus at the time of your death or at the coming of Christ in the atmosphere for us. One or the other, the Holy Spirit will finish the salvation that God has worked in your life. Thank God he won't quit. He's not like me. I start a project and I'm still working on projects. Nope, God keeps his word and you can trust him and you can count on him. But let's give a little bit of background before we get into the magnitude of the message, I believe, that God would have California to hear. Acts chapter 2 is where this begins to be fulfilled for us. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, it's pretty remarkable. You'll see the verses on the screen. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Oh, can I stop right there? The day of Pentecost had fully come. It's a very powerful statement. Because in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, it says from the time of the Passover offering, it's to be 7 weeks. 7 weeks of 7 days, that's 49. Watch this. You say 49. I thought you said 50. I did say 50. Yeah, but you just said 49. Exactly. That's why your Bible says right here, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. It means at the end of the last moment of the 49th day, on the first moment of the 50th day, the Holy Spirit, you're going to read in a moment, came down. When the feast and the celebration was complete, God moved. He came down. He so keeps his word down to the moment. Has God made you promises? Listen, has this pandemic rocked your faith? Has this pandemic caused you to step back on your heels? Have you caught your wind? Have you been able to stand upright and move on? How have you been able to do that? The Bible. Listen, thank God that you're here, but listen, not everybody that used to be here will be here. And I'm talking about the future. There are those in your church, maybe you're visiting from some other church, I believe what I'm about to say is universal. This is the first wave of end time trials that God has brought to purge the church and to test the world. And how did you fare? How are you doing? Did this COVID situation, which let's be honest, I don't mean to belittle anyone's pain, but technically, even medically, it's not anything compared to the data. We have found out, or I should say the reverse, the fact of the matter is it has turned out to be much less lethal. Did you know that? This thing has been talked up. Maybe it was fear. Maybe it was bad science. Maybe bad speculation. I don't know. But in California, we just passed the suicide rate since January 1st has now far exceeded COVID in California. Did you know that? People are now beginning to kill themselves because they've lost hope. And they're losing hope. Of course, they're losing hope. When you tell a man or a woman you can't work and you're sequestered, and then on top of it, we know of situations, one that comes to my mind, I'm not going to get into the details about, where the husband picks up the phone, the dad picks up the phone, and he hears from the office, you're not essential. Hung up the phone, life has its difficulties, life has its traumas, financial issues begin to come in. And that man got his eyes off of Jesus, and that man went into his garage, and that man put himself at the end of a rope. When you tell somebody that you're non-essential, what are you telling them? And I'm shocked, by the way, at this progressive age in which you and I live in, and the PC hypocrisy that we live in today that says, you can't say that, you can't say that. And the same proponents of that turned around and said to all of us, you're not essential. You tell someone that they're not essential and you suck what little hope is in them out. Well, I'm here to tell you something right now. According to the living God and the almighty word of God, God says you're not essential or non-essential. You are a soul that God loves, and God will not allow the human race to be relegated down to that kind of title. It's an absolute fact. Now, there's somebody somewhere said this business is essential and that business is non-essential. I think that's horrible. But let's be honest right here, right now. When you talk about essentiality, you're talking about the businesses of the world and the conduct of business. So somebody says this business is essential, this business is not essential. And our government lumped the church into non-essential. The church is not essential, nor is it non-essential. The church is transcendent. It's not a business. It's a living, breathing organism of people who worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not a company. This nation was founded upon the Judeo-Christians of the eternal word of God. Thus, there's a First Amendment. Look, this is true. If you don't like it, go talk to your attorney. I've already talked to mine. I'm going to tell you what he says. Costco, Walmart, they can be deemed essential or non-essential. Doesn't matter. They do not have the First Amendment that supports their business operation. Did you know that? The First Amendment doesn't apply to the operation of your business. The First Amendment applies to your freedom to assemble, the freedom of the press, and the freedom of the church to gather together and worship. That's it. That's it. You say, Jack, what does this have to do with the day of Pentecost? On April 26th, praying all by myself, going through the Bible, because when we got shut down, that's the first thought out of my head, was probably out of your head, it was, God, when? When do we open? Not if, when? And on April 26th, I said, you know, April 26th, because I took out a Sharpie pen and I wrote on my laptop, my computer, what I had strongly heard. It was amazing. I didn't hear any voices. I didn't see anything in the sky. I was reading the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, because that's, you know, Ezra and Nehemiah, they restarted a worship system that had been shut down. I thought it applied to us. Studying that book. And May 31st hit my head like a lightning bolt. It shocked me. So I wrote it down. Kept it quiet. Didn't even tell my wife. Silent. And about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days later, some pastors from Central California gave me a call and they said, Pastor Jack, we're very connected with you. We've never met you, but we're connected with your church. We love your church. And we feel kind of obligated to tell you that we want to open up. And we have a date. And I said, well, I'm all for opening up. I'm curious, what's your date? And they said, May 31st. Well, that's the date God had given me on April 26th. That's the date that's written on my laptop. It's a coincidence. I understand that. But what I didn't know is what they said next. They said, yeah, it's a great time to open up. It's Pentecost Sunday. I said, what'd you say? It's Pentecost Sunday. I just thanked the Lord for that. I told the guys what was going on in my own life and just began to pray. It was hard for me because, to be honest with you, I've struggled with this entire thing. And I thought May 31st was basically an infinite length of time, too far. But you got to remember, our president asked us to take 15 days off. We all did that. Then he came back and he said, the curve's not flattening. Can you take another 15 days? I want you to know, that was the whole 30 days was very hard for me. I asked God to forgive me 1,000 times over. I really did. He said, well, don't be so hard on yourself. Are you kidding me? Would I ever shut the church down again? I don't think so. Why? Because Jesus said, I've set before you an open door. When life hurts, the church comes in. When people are dying, the church moves forward. When people are hurting, that's where we shine the most. And listen, we're not the enemy of the state. We're the friend of the state. It's not just the financial need of people. It's the greatest thing of all, and that's the spiritual need of people and the emotional and mental well-being of someone. And so the Bible tells us that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord in one place. That's called church, Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And they began to preach and praise and worship and all of these known languages of the world that these Galileans had never known. But here's the point. And in Pentecost Sunday, when that began to happen, Peter stands up and he starts to preach. It's his first moment where the Spirit gets a hold of Peter and he's preaching. You know, Peter, crazy, bumbling, foot and mouth Peter. We love Peter because he's like us, but all of a sudden he's possessed by the Holy Spirit and he begins to preach. And you can read Acts chapter 2. It's an amazing sermon. And he says out of Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the Old Testament prophet, Peter quotes, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Now, this was 2,000 years ago, and Peter said then it was happening then. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And the church was born. A motley crew of people, most of them at that moment Galileans, an increasing number of those from Jerusalem, all of them at that moment Jews who were getting converted to Christ as Messiah, and the Spirit of God came. And they began to preach and share the gospel without apology, in the face of opposition, with boldness. The Jewish hierarchy hated them, and the Roman Empire hated them. The Jewish leadership thought that Christians were cult worshipers, and the Roman Empire, when it's all of its plethora of gods, believed that the Christians were atheists, meaning a worshiper of one God. The first word atheism was applied to Christians because they only believed in one God. They were monotheistic. We are monotheistic. We believe in one God. And Rome hated that. They believed that Christianity was an insult to the rest of the gods of the empire. And they were not deterred. They went boldly studying and praying and worshiping from house to house, and then they began witnessing. The church was born. How could that have been? John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. Jesus is just getting ready to end his earthly ministry as we would know it. And he says, "I pray, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." I love this next part. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And the giving of the Holy Spirit upon the life of the believers on the day of Pentecost. Listen, these people were saved. Know this, the Holy Spirit was already in them, inside. If you've accepted Christ, the Bible says you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You know that. He's inside. When you accept Christ, you accept him once. You don't need to accept him next Sunday. "Yeah, but I really messed up. Do I need to get born again next week?" No, you do not. Right? You walk with God, you confess your sins to God, and you keep going on with God. But this moment of Pentecost is the endowment of power. In fact, the word dynamite comes out of this moment where the Spirit of God takes control, and out of your life comes supernatural effect that cannot be explained humanly of or by your person. It's a supernatural work of God. And they did that. And the Bible tells us here that Jesus is announcing that this is the promise of the Father. How do we know that Jesus made it to heaven? The day of Pentecost happened. He sent the Holy Spirit exactly as he promised. So here we go. Mark these down before we dive in. And listen, we have 5 points coming up, but they're really fast. So you'll be okay. Acts 1:4, "And they being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John the Baptist baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Now, this is before Acts chapter 2, obviously. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria." So imagine these rings going out from Jerusalem. "And Samaria and to the ends of the earth and to," fill in the blank, where did you hear the gospel? Costa Mesa, Chino Hills, Newport Beach, Seattle, New York City, Chicago. Where did you hear the gospel? The fact that you heard the gospel somewhere in the world is a fact that that verse was fulfilled, is it not? Think of that. I don't know about God. I don't know if I believe in God. Why not? Seriously, why not? I'd like to hear that. But know this, more than ever, here's my point to today, is more than ever, we need to experience the Pentecost power of the Holy Spirit anew, afresh in our lives. You have made it through the first great test that has come to the global church today. You made human history. This is the first time in human history where the church all went through the same trial at the exact same time. Did you know that? First time in the history of man. You say, wait, there were world wars. Of course there were world wars, but it didn't infect the entire world. All of us were home. And did you know the internet almost broke? Did you know the CIA monitors everything you do? And did you know that the CIA monitored and recorded the largest download of Christian material in history? That's true globally, but the greatest geographical pin drop of downloaded Christian, that is Bibles, sermons, printed materials downloaded in the world, Persia, Iran. Persia. Is that awesome? What does that tell you? Persia needs a God. Persia needs salvation. You know, they got hit hard by COVID and they went to the Bible. Did this time draw you closer to Jesus or did you run away from Jesus? Were you overcome by fear or did the perfect love of God cast out fear?
Yes.
Very important. We've all been convicted by this. So number one, look at it, church, if we would together. Mark this verse down. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Acts 4, 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Now's the time for an earthquake. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So here we go, jot it down, number one. My dear church in California, perhaps Jesus would say, I've written you a letter, and have I not honored you? He's calling us to remembrance. You know, one of the greatest things in life to get through difficulties is going back and remembering things that you've made it through before. You know the great saying in the Bible, this too shall pass, right? Are you in a tough place right now? Is life just stretching you? Guess what? This too shall pass. Listen, our emotions tell us this is the end. Our emotions tell us it's time to lose all hope. God's word says this too shall pass. If this has to do with your business or your employment, if this has to do with your spiritual situation or any relationship, God says this too shall pass. God is moving. Have any of you, I'm being sarcastic right now, have any of you named the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? If you have, God is not finished. And according to the work of the Holy Spirit, God must finish that work because he never forsakes the work of his hands. He will finish. You say, well, it's going so rough. I understand. Little suggestion. It's best to quit and go with the flow. Don't resist him. Relax toward him. Watch what he does.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his special message called My Dear Church in California, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for listening. And our hope really is that the rest of your 2020 will be full of peace and joy, especially through the pain and suffering of COVID-19. It's only truly possible when you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. So why won't you come to him today? And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Just a reminder that due to time constraints, this sermon was edited. To hear the full sermon, visit jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.